everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, I'm thrilled to have Mary Pen Yamachika on the podcast, and we call her Pen for short. Pen is a critical care director at the Lakewood Regional Medical Center. She's been involved in worship ministry in the past, along with the entire Yamachika family. She and her husband, Craig, are also involved in family ministry with Ross and Ida, facilitating some of their classes. Penn and Craig have been married for 32 years, so a big congratulations. Together, they have two grown children, daughter Megan and son Matthew. And Megan was recently married to Levi, so a big congratulations there. And with that, Penn, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
John, thank you for having me, and I feel honored being invited on your show.
Oh, thank
on
you.
On your podcast.
Yeah, you know, I've been waiting for this day for some time, and I've heard and been blessed by your testimony, Penn, and I know others will be blessed as well. So, but to start, I thought we'd have some fun by asking you how you first met Craig.
Okay, so I met Craig at a club in Torrance.
All right.
And it's kind of weird because, you know, for us to meet at a club, you know, I want to say that, yeah, I met him at church or I met him through, you know, the grocery store or something. But
yeah.
But I met him through a friend at a club down in Gardena called Adams. Torrance.
Yeah. And I'm just curious, what were your first impressions when you met him?
That he was, he was really nice and good looking. And he looked like really mature for his age.
Yeah.
So I felt kind of awkward because then I didn't feel as mature as he was. Like, he was already done with school. He had a full-time job. And so I just... I felt like he was like a lot older than what he his age.
Yeah, wow, that's a tremendous compliment.
Yeah,
yeah. So tell me about your first date.
So when we first went out, Craig was very good, and he's like an interviewer. He wants to know if the girl he's dating is going somewhere. Are you going to school? Do you have aspirations? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? I mean, I felt like maybe I should have brought my CV along, you know, because it was a full-on interview.
Well, you obviously passed with flying colors,
I
right?
I did, I guess. Yeah. So. Yeah.
And I smile because I think, yeah, that sounds like Craig. You know, he's so researched, right? You know,
yes.
he there is nothing. I mean, when you guys go on your vacation,
yes.
you know, there is no stone that is not turned, right? I mean, you are prepared for this vacation, and there's no way you're not going to be prepared, right?
Right. And you know, his personality trait, a big one, is a beaver. So he does like data, and he likes to research. And so I did ask him, you know, later on when we got married, I said, do you date around just to date? He goes, oh no. He goes, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I'm not just going to date around.
I said,
I'm looking for the girl I'm going to marry.
Yeah. He's so, not messing around.
No, he's
right?
not messing around. He goes, if you weren't the one, I wasn't going to date you anymore.
Yeah. So speaking of that, when did you realize he was the one for you?
Oh, very early on.
Yeah.
The first couple of months, you know, I thought that, you know, he was a very good guy.
Yeah,
really good spirit.
Yeah.
And and he treated me very well. Like,
yeah.
I was the sun and the moon. So, you know, I mean, who doesn't like that?
Yeah, that's so good. Okay, so now that we've had some fun background information on both you and Craig, I want to jump right into your testimony. And
sure.
So, Penn, as they say, the mic is yours.
So, we have been married 32 years now.
Yeah.
But throughout, in the first, like, maybe I would say 15 years, there's a lot of ups and downs,
sure.
you know,
yeah.
only because there's always struggles, you know, personality-wise yeah. and characteristic-wise. And it would go up and down like a roller coaster, because then mm-hmm. he would get better, and then we would never get to the root of the problem. See, that's the thing, John. Mm-hmm. I think that yeah. if couples don't get to the root of the problem, it's always there. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so it may get better for a little while, and then you will always come back to that same issue. So that has been something with us. Like every 5 or 7 years, we would hit that low, because, you know, something is always off between us. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. you know, through all that time, we've had kids and everything, but we never really got to that problem until, like, I want to say, like, it was our 18th year. Mm-hmm, our 18th year, mm-hmm, we really hit a low. Now, throughout this time, we would dabble into, like, counseling, marriage counseling, but we never really found a good one mm-hmm. that really would get to the root of the problem. Oh. And at the time, we weren't, in church. Mm-hmm. We were not, like, the believers we are now. Now, yeah. I would go to the Catholic Church, but only on, like, Easter's and Christmas, and we weren't, you know, as close to the Lord as we are now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Craig was an armchair Buddhist by his family connection. Mm-hmm, so he mm-hmm. didn't, they really didn't practice, but mm-hmm. they identified themselves as Buddhists because it's just been in their family. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anyway, so it towards the, like, the 18th year, we really had a falling out, like the bottom fell out. By that mm-hmm. time, we've already had kids. We have Megan and Matthew already. And mm-hmm. I think they were, like, I want to say, like, in 5th and 7th grade.
Okay.
Okay. And so it the bottom fell out, because then both of us were hit the breaking point to mm-hmm. where, you know, we started not to care for each other anymore, and something happened between Craig and I to where our love connection just broke, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything is going well in all of our lives until one incident will turn your life on its head mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. the bottom will fall out, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And if you don't really have the Lord in your life, that's all you have, you feel so alone. Mm-hmm. You know, the tremendous grief that you have, because that was the time that Craig and I split up. Mm-hmm. You know, Craig moved out. Craig went to his parents' house, you know, to live there. So it was just me and the kids at mm-hmm. at the house. The kids felt really, you know, broken. Mm-hmm. They felt yeah. like the loss of their dad, you know, yeah. that. Yeah. Not being in the house. I'm telling you, that time wasn't just hard for Craig and I, but also for the kids. Yeah. They really felt it.
Yeah.
And to think that if you've always loved each other and was in love with each other, and then for that moment in time when things fall apart, that love just disappears. Mm-hmm. You could tell, like, in the other person's eyes that the love and the light that was there before mm-hmm. is no mm-hmm. longer there. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that is the part of the grief that you feel, because then you have lost that. It's mm-hmm. almost like a death inside mm-hmm. of you, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. a spiritual and emotional death.
Yeah.
So at that time, I just didn't know where to turn. And I called a friend of mine, a really close friend, and she said, and I wanted to talk to her and just, like, talk, you know, like, crap about Craig. How can he do this to me? Look what he did. And he moved out and he left. And so, but, you know, my friend said to me, you know what, Pen, you know what we're going to do? What we're going to do? She goes, we're going to church.
Wow, wow. She and wouldn't have any of that talk, that bad talk.
No. Yeah. Well, she was brokenhearted because she loved us both. Mm-hmm. You know, she loved mm-hmm. us both. Mm-hmm. She loved Craig. She loved me, the kids. And the thing that came first to her mind was, I need to get you to church. We need to go to church. And she knew that I was a Catholic, but I wasn't in church. I wasn't reading the Bible. I wasn't listening to messages. I wasn't talking to the Lord. And so I was I don't want to go to church, because that's not what I want to do. Mm. It was counterintuitive to me. Mm. That's not going to fix my problem, because I'm sad right now. I'm empty and I'm just broken right now. What's church going to do for me? But you know, she was a good friend to me and she was consoling me and everything. Yeah. So I said, okay, I'll go.
Okay.
I'll go with you. Mm-hmm. You know, so one Sunday, she took me to Hope Chapel on Aviation.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Redondo a great Beach, church. Yeah. Yeah. It's lovely. And she had a friend there, and I knew him also. And after service, we went to their prayer room. Their prayer room is awesome. Okay. It's in this glass room, and it's
I've seen it.
Very serene and quiet and peaceful. And they both sat me down, and they prayed over me.
Yeah.
And I've never had heard prayers like that. I only heard prayers that were like recitations, you know, because it's something that you recite. And so I didn't even know how to pray from my heart and to God and all of that. You know, it's like they were customizing their prayers for me.
So personal for you, huh?
It was it was so special in a way that I could connect with it.
Yes.
I could connect with those prayers, hold on to it, and I knew it was going to God.
Wow.
And so I was like, it was almost like a personal letter, kind of like a sign for help to God, and I clung to that because I thought it was so great, and so I was hooked. And they also shared me, coincidentally, the guy who prayed for me, he underwent something like this too.
Oh, okay.
And he told me how his wife won him back through love.
Yeah. Wow.
And then I said, wow, she's a stronger woman than I am, you know. So
Like that really resonated with you when
did.
He said that.
It did, because then I was like, it was counterintuitive.
Yeah.
You know, that she would love on him.
Yes.
And, you know, she was telling me that they were broken up for like 2 years. He had moved out. He was doing vices because he was also in the music industry.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of gigs and whatever happens, you know.
Yeah.
And so there was fast living and I don't know what other things, but it really affected their marriage. And so they had three kids, two girls, one boy, and they were apart for 2 years. And when he would go over and visit, she would pour love on him. Have you eaten? Can I get you anything?
Yeah.
You know, so welcoming, didn't withhold the visitations of the children from him.
Yeah.
And over that time, over that 2 years that they were broken up, he saw her. He saw her and the goodness that was in her. And I'm sure that was God working on her to keep pouring her love on him.
Yes.
And they got back together.
Yeah.
And
And
I am not quite sure, but I think they even divorced during that time and they got remarried.
Wow.
They're still together to this day.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Uh-huh. That's neat.
And they're wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounded like that had an impact on you as you left that meeting that night.
I did. And I actually attended that church for a while, and I was even in their small group.
Oh,
so
nice.
I would drive to Torrance for their small group.
Yeah.
Because this gentleman that prayed for me is also the shepherd of that group.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So he was leading that small group.
Wow.
And he's also on the worship team.
Yeah.
On that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I felt like, you know, when my friend brought me there, I felt connected already.
Yeah. Yeah. God knows exactly what we need, doesn't he?
I felt connected already with the right people and this and that. So it was new to me though, because it was way different than what the Catholic Church how they operated, and when you go to service, it's certain things, you know.
Right.
But I was like really intrigued by it, because the whole thing, I felt like, you know, you have you can just speak directly to God.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That you cut out the middleman.
Mm-hmm.
You can go straight to God with your petitions, your prayers, and you know, and I felt like much closer, and I started like, you know, getting a better relationship with the Lord. And,
oh wow. That's
and
great.
It was freeing, you know, to be in this type of environment, in this type of church. It was felt less religious and just more of like a one-on-one kind of thing.
Yeah. Wow.
So and you know, I'm a terrible commuter. I don't like to commute, so I said, I'm sure there's a church closer.
Yeah.
So that I can put down roots, because I wanted to put down roots, but but to me it seemed kind of impossible to go so far, you know. But I did want to pursue being in a home church. I wanted to look for one.
Yeah.
And so our good friend Carolyn Dietrich, I remembered she was going to CBC at the time.
Yeah.
And then they had planted this new church in Catalyst. And so first she said, you want to meet with Barry, because she knew I was hurting. I had poured my heart to her too. You know, she was the other friend that I had poured my heart out to. And she's another one that, let's go to church. I'm like, what's Barry? All right. Okay. But you know, after all of that, I think that, them saying let's go to church, it was building a community for me.
Yeah.
To support during this time where it was so hard.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. I felt like I was in a pit.
Yeah.
And so when I met with Barry, oh my gosh, I think this is why I wanted to come to this church, is because he was so fatherly, you know, and so caring.
Yes.
And so I remember that one-on-one that we had over at the CBC classroom. We were sitting in these little schoolroom chairs.
Feel like a giant.
Yeah. But I thought that was so good to be able to spill my heart out.
Yeah.
But, you know, even during that time, I just, even though I was hurt and I felt alone and abandoned and everything, in my mind, I still knew that Craig was a good man.
Mm.
You know, I told Barry, I said, I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't know. Maybe he's had a stroke. Maybe he has a tumor pressing on his frontal brain. I don't know. But this is not the guy that I know. Mm-hmm. It was very unusual.
Yeah.
There has to be something wrong, because this is not him. Craig is a really good guy. And throughout it all, I was thinking, like, I'm more worried for him. Like, he's probably going through a lot in his mind and in his own self.
Yeah.
But it made me feel welcome to be in the church. And so I started coming to church.
Yeah.
But I sat in the back, and I wanted to, like, be invisible and just sit by the, you know, the soundboard.
Oh, okay. That's pretty far back.
I know. I want to be invisible, right? Yeah. Oh, no, but here comes Todd. Oh, how are you? Welcome. And I'm like, go away.
Yeah, no, you can't.
I just want to be invisible.
You can't be invisible, Penn.
No, but
not at Catalyst.
But this is why Catalyst is so good, because if you, they're so welcoming.
Yeah.
When you see a new face, it's like, you know, they're right away. Oh, hi, how are you?
Yes.
Welcome.
Yes.
And so I like that about our church. You know, they're very entertaining. They're not going to let you sit in the corner and ostracize yourself and you know, and feel more isolated, you know?
Yes.
And that's when I, that's also the time where I met Don and at the time it was a small group called The Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Those people are lifesavers, you know, they're they were something for me to do every Thursday.
Yeah.
And then I went every Wednesday to prayer night because, again, that was something for me to do and be with so that I could, like, kind of heal and fill myself up.
It became kind of your support group at that point. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And then I brought the kids.
Yeah.
And so at the time, you know, remember when the first Wednesday prayer night groups?
Yeah.
It was kind of like, you know, just freedom, kind of like eclectic.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Things were happening and prayers and spontaneous things were happening. So my children were there. And so somebody asked me, I think Mona asked me, she goes, or somebody, I don't know if it's really Mona, but she said, what do the kids think about this? And I said, nothing. Yeah, and this is their first experience of church, so they think this is normal. So, you know, I mean, which is good because then you don't want any kind of preconceived notions. And that's another thing, too, that I wanted the kids to be in church from very young. I don't want them to only know church when they've already have preconceived notions because when I was young, I was introduced to church very early. So I know that was like part of life.
Yeah.
You know, that's just something we do. And so they got involved in our small group and the kids group and Damon and Jerry and all the, this other stuff, which was kind of good also because they also needed a community, you know, they needed support and, and everything. So that was... That was a blessing. So for a long time, I didn't say anything about Craig and I. I think the only people that knew was Carolyn and Barry and Don. You know, I kept his name out of anything because then in the back of my mind, if we ever got back together and I wanted him to come to church, I don't want anybody thinking anything otherwise, you know, about him.
Sure.
Because I don't know, for some reason in the back of my mind, if we ever got back together, I want him to come to church.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, if I was talking smack about him, people are already going to have like preconceived notions about him.
Sure.
And so I think even Louise Nagahori, she thought, she goes, Penn, I thought you were a widow. Because, you know, it was only me and the kids that came all the time.
Right. Yeah. So you're at Catalyst. You have this support. You've talked with Barry, and you have your support network now. Mm-hmm. And so tell us now how, I mean, I know this is incredible what God started doing to work to bring you and Craig back together.
So he would come and visit the kids and I said come in, you know, we were still good to each other, you know, and I said, have you eaten? Because, you know, he gives all his money to me because then I'm still living at the house, know, and he's living with his parents, and then eventually he did get an apartment, you know, down the street on South Street, but I knew he wasn't eating much and he was on a tight budget because everything was coming to me to pay for the mortgage, to upkeep the bills and all this other stuff. So I commend him for that, you know, that he still like supported us and the household and that the kids were not displaced and everything.
Yes.
But then I thought to myself, oh my God, I'm going to have to pay the bills. And I didn't know how, you know, because then, that's something that he did. And then so I said, oh, how am I going to do this? You know, it's online banking and this and that. And I was petrified. I thought to myself, I'm cooked. This is it. I can't do this. And so I think Craig showed me one time because I didn't know how to pay online and everything. Mm-hmm. And so I was like so frustrated because I didn't know if I would go into default, if I would forget to pay a bill. And so I prayed, and the Lord said, you could do this, you know.
Oh, okay.
You're a smart girl.
Yeah.
You went to school.
Yeah, come that's on right.
Get it together.
Yeah.
So just getting the strength to, like, get organized. And so I had to call on to the beaver side of me and try to get myself organized. And I had a binder, and I did all of these things, and I got myself super organized. And I really thank the Lord, because then I don't know where it came from, and I'm glad that I didn't sit and wallow in the despair of, oh my God, I can't do this, I'm helpless, and you know, and keep crying about it.
Yeah.
So I really do thank the Lord for giving me that strength to like plow through.
Because
once you plow through it and you do it a couple of months, like, hey, I can do this. And then, you know, Craig, when he came back months later, he looked at my system. He liked it so much, he kept it.
Wow, that's saying a lot.
And I remembered there was one of my oldest credit cards. I had defaulted on it, and then because of the time, I was kind of like a mess. I wasn't focused. I was letting things slip by. I called the lady, and I poured my heart out to her, and essentially just like asking for mercy. And she goes, "Ma'am, we will give you an extension. If you could just go ahead and give these couple of payments, we will work through this with you." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, thank you, Jesus!" You know, because I needed mercy at that time. Because you know, I didn't want to make myself and my situation worse on top of all these things that we were going through.
Right.
But you know, being able to be transparent to this lady on the other line.
Yeah.
Thank God that God connects you with people with compassionate hearts.
Yeah.
And she was like, I think she took pity on me. She goes, "Okay, ma'am, this is what we're going to do." Like a therapy session. And so I said, "Oh gosh, thank you." And you know, all along the way, I found these things.
Yeah.
Where people were very compassionate to me and my situation, and me and my kids' situation during this whole time.
Oh, you can just see the Lord lining people up. I mean, even from your visit to Hope Chapel to finding to Carolyn telling you about Catalyst, and then being matched up with the small group, and so you can just see God's hand in throughout your whole ordeal.
And it was like, you know, them propping me up, even though I wasn't like forwardly and frankly coming out and saying, "Help me, because I'm going through this situation," you know. But I really felt that friendship and that support. Even if you don't say it out loud, they just do it naturally. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is really good. I mean, if you're not in a small group, you should, you know, because that's where you can find a community of people that will really be there for you.
So you had mentioned mercy earlier, the mercy of this lady. And God was influencing you from some of the words that your shepherd at Hope Chapel had talked about what his wife did for him.
Oh, yeah.
And so I wondered if you can talk about that, about how you started having a change of heart. And
So I'm a very prideful person, and I think things that have happened in my life and some of the disappointments and some of the relationship that have been broken and shattered had made me kind of prideful and kind of distrustful of people. So, you know, I think part of the reason that Craig and I had problems is because I was always trying to exert my will and my my advantage and my I want to say power over the relationship, because I just didn't want to be the person that was always at a disadvantage, because then that's like a no-no for me. I feel like never in life will you be taken advantage of, or be the underdog, or be the weakling, you know. And so that, I think, kind of played into the unraveling of our marriage, you know. Now, it wasn't all my fault. I just wanted to let you know that. But that was I mean, you know, this is a two-way thing. Yeah. But I'm just saying, I'm being transparent, and that from my side, I feel like that's what I contributed to it. That kind of strained the marriage, because it's hard to live with a person like that. It's hard to live with a person who always has to be right, that has to have their way, you know. It's really stressful, and it's draining, you know, and I can see that now. But all along, throughout our marriage until this point that we had broken up, I didn't see that. And so that's why we were on a roller coaster all the time, because I wouldn't break, and I wouldn't let go of that standing. So the Lord, I think, takes you to your lowest point and breaks you until you say, "Do you see? Do you see what it is?" You know? And so, and he had to break me, because I'm a hard nut to crack. It's stubborn, you know, can't see it, doesn't want to let go of it, you know? And so during this time, I had to be more loving and humble and accommodating, and so during that time, I think the Lord was trying to show me, why don't you show him love? I'm like, he's hurting me. I don't want to do that. Yeah. And he goes, no, show love.
Wow.
You know? And I'm like, I don't really want to. But I did, because then also I felt like my friend's situation and their relationship, that was the Lord also giving me an example of what he wanted me to do. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, this is a template. That's why I think people have messages, because they need to impart it on somebody else to show, you know?
Yes. Yes.
What the Lord has done, you know? So I'm like, okay, all right. So I didn't give him a hard time if he wants to come over and see the kids. And I'm like, yeah, come over, you know? We're having dinner. You want to eat, you know?
Yeah.
And so we would share dinners and all of that. And during that time, Thanksgiving, it wasn't a Thanksgiving together. So, you know, my heart was broken, because then, you know, they were going to go and celebrate with Bart's family and the Yamachika side, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was going to sulk, but then I said, well, all right, I'll give him my signature yam dish.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe I should put something bitter in here. No, but it was awesome. It was like, you know.
Yeah.
So I said, here, why don't you take this, you know, for your Thanksgiving. Share it with the family. And you know, they love it, because I've been making that.
Yeah.
You know, so
how did you feel afterwards, after you did that?
Like, yeah, I felt good giving it, but then I also felt like I was excluded, so I felt lonesome.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's okay. Just do it. Just give it. And then we had Thanksgiving with the kids on Friday. So you know how that's Thursday they had their Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So we had our Thanksgiving on that Friday with my family. So,
yeah.
So that that worked out well. But yeah, something, you know, inside me, I think it was the Lord saying, take your yams. I'm too good to make these yams for them. or I'm like, I don't want to share it with them if I'm not even going to be there, you know?
Yeah, but to echo what you said, that had to be the Lord that helped you to do that, Pen.
Right.
Because, you know, despite, I mean, you yourself were going through the hurt and struggling through the differences, but you made up your mind that you were going to bless Craig.
Right.
And you know, I think of Romans 12. Okay, so Romans 12, Paul talks about not repaying evil for evil, but overcoming evil with good.
Yeah.
And in fact, if I can just quote verse 18, if possible, as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And you made a conscious decision that you were going to do good.
Yeah.
And I think, gosh, that had to be the Lord helping you.
Yeah, and you know, during that time, the enemy was like really working and whispering in my ear, like, you see that he doesn't love you anymore, and you know they're having Thanksgiving without you,
right?
And, you know how sorry you must feel for yourself, and it's just, so there's a lot of things like that. But then, you know, the Lord like brings some peace into you and just say, just make your yams. It's gonna be good.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Do it.
Wow,
it's gonna be
you.
Good. And I'm like, okay. So stuff like that, you know. Because then I knew that he was struggling as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so we were always like trying to check on each other, you know.
Yeah.
And then I knew he still loved me because one time we were arguing about something on the phone, and then it slipped. He goes, "Babe," and I'm like, "Excuse me? Excuse me? He calls me babe."
Wow.
He goes,
"Wow,
oh, there's still something in there."
Yeah, there's still something there. Yeah, definitely. And yeah, and so, you know, in the midst of this difficult time, you're in the midst of the difficult time, and you get these signs here and there, and you also got a prophecy from a friend, didn't you? And forgive me if I'm jumping ahead.
No. So it's nearing about 6 months now, and it's long, and it's a long, arduous journey, and a long time. And so I'm thinking, is this going to happen or not? And so I, during that time, I had already told the Lord, okay, I give up. I'm not going to try on my own might anymore.
Wow.
I said, you have it. You have the ball. You know, you call it. You know, if he's going to come back, you can show me.
You know, it almost seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that God wanted you to get to that point where you said, I can't do this on my own, and I have to completely depend on him. Is that correct? Or
yes.
What?
Wow. Yes, because then there was a time in December, he impressed upon me to stop talking to my friends because he just wants me to talk to him.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
So for a while there, I think my friends were like kind of upset with me because then I kind of retreated and I was just like doing my own thing, and I'm not giving any updates about what's happening with us, you know, and I was just talking to the Lord.
Wow.
I was actually, you know, during that time I was doing a lot of discourse with the Lord, you know. And I was like, come on, God, don't you see what's happening here? I mean, I know you love me, but if you love me, why is this happening?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I said, don't you see that my children are hurting and this and that?
Yeah.
You know? And so just like pouring my heart out,
right,
you know, and telling the Lord, this is really painful.
Yeah.
This is a really rough time for all of us. I said, do you see us? You know, do you see what's happening to us?
Yeah.
And so in the beginning when I was doing that, I felt like maybe the lightning's going to come through the window in a minute. But then, you know, as I got comfortable in praying, I just let it out.
Right.
Because I think the Lord is big enough to take it.
Yeah.
My hurts, my feelings, my, you know, this whole back and forth with the Lord.
Yeah. You once made a comment that you can't have discord with God unless you're communicating with him. So God showed you that this is actually a good thing because you're communicating, you're dialoguing back and forth, aren't you?
Right. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, our kids, they can disagree with us and we could have a discussion, and it could be a heated discussion, but after all of that, we're still in relationship. We love each other still, you know.
Yes.
As long as, you know, they say it to me respectfully. So, you know, I feel the same. I think that if God loves me, you know, we can have this difficult conversation and still not be excluded from the kingdom of God, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people have to feel safe.
Yes.
To be able to, you know, bury yourself.
Right.
You know, bury your soul.
Right.
In front of the Lord, you know.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, so you're having, you're going through this discord with God, honest conversation, mm-hmm. and I want to get back to, you got that prophecy from your friend.
So during that time, I was feeling kind of like, this might not happen, because then I told the Lord, you know, your will be done. You do it, you know. I'll just hang back. I'll just go about my business.
Yeah.
Okay. And so one day I was driving to work, and I called my friend and I said, you know what, I don't think this is going to happen. I was just really sad, because I had this really sadness in me, and I was crying in the parking lot, and I was telling her that I think this is going to be over. I know that he had asked me if we could wipe the slate clean and start again, you know, start our lives separately again, mm-hmm, you know. And so I was thinking like, oh, I think that we might, you know, separate for good. We might divorce, you know. And so I was talking with her, and then she said to me very clearly, you know what, Pan? He's coming home. He's coming home next week. Now, she has no communication with him, because then he's out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's very private about his life. I think the only person he was talking to was Bart, you know, his brother.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
And he wasn't really like bearing his soul to anybody.
Yeah.
And so she told me, she goes, he's coming home, Pen.
And it sounds like it was said with a lot of confidence too.
And she goes, yes, it's done. She goes, it's done.
Wow.
And then I'm like, wow, you're saying it with such conviction. She goes, yeah, I feel like that's what the Lord is telling me.
Because wow. she's you felt also, that way.
No, she did.
Oh, okay.
She told me that. That's for her to tell me.
Did that fill you up with hope?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I said, well, let me touch up my makeup and go to work. Because, you know, I felt like, okay, well, you know, we've dropped the word, and all you have to do is take faith, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Scoop it up, take it on faith, and go on back to work. And you know what? I gotta say, I'm telling you, believe it or not, you know, the following week, he did come home.
Yeah, wow.
He did come home. We were eating dinner, and after dinner, we were sitting around, and he said, I'd like to come home. And I said, okay, tonight?
I think you said, go get your stuff, right?
I said, tonight? I mean, go get your stuff, you know? And so, it happened like that, because I was also going to a Christian counselor at the time, and she was saying that if it comes about that he wants to come home, take it up right away. Don't dilly-dally.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, and just make it happen. Because then, I don't know, maybe she felt also that it was happening, you know?
Uh-huh,
I don't know what they see, I don't see.
Yeah.
But he did come home, and after that, we started coming to Catalyst together.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he was a skeptic. Barry had to meet with him a couple of times. He had a lot of questions, you know.
Yeah.
He was asking a million questions, but Barry's the one to ask, you know. He's so patient, and you could ask him anything. And so, he came to the Lord after, I think, in less than a year.
Wow.
He was, because he was seeing also what we were going through, me and the kids. We were going to church, and one time I was talking about the message that Sam had spoken that one Sunday about getting extra change, and so he brought it back and put it on the counter, and Craig was listening, you know, he was nosy posy, and he said, that cost more than the gas. And I said, we're not talking to you.
Yeah.
But the point that he was listening to us, and I think that he saw how the three of us were also transformed.
Yeah.
After we were coming to Catalyst.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and then to see all of you, you and the kids, and Craig together, and worship teams, it just makes me smile. And again, you know, think that, gosh, God redeems everything, and to see how far, you know, you've all come, it's just such an incredible testimony. And, you know, you learned a lot about yourself during this difficult time, Penn, and I wondered if you can share for you what were a few of the biggest takeaways for you through this difficult time.
So this is kind of coincidental because we just had a message about this last Sunday with Pastor O. And I learned to be more submitted to Craig, you know, because then, like I mentioned earlier, I had this personality from being a survivalist that I had to not have anybody have it over on me, not to be taken advantage of, not to take the weaker position, you know. And so throughout this ordeal, what I had learned was that I needed to be more trusting of Craig. And being more trusting of Craig, then I can submit myself to to his being a leader of the family, of being the head, right? And people need to be able to trust, because I think a lot of people, if you don't have that trust and faith that your husband is going to love you, cherish you, and protect you and hold you up, I think people are less willing to have that word submit, you know? Because I think Craig has the harder job. He has to cherish me like Jesus cherished the church, right?
Yeah.
I think Craig has the harder job.
Yeah. And you know, my observation is that, you know, you first had to learn to, or not, maybe not learn, but rely and submit to God.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the process for you first, and then it just translated and moved over to now your relationship with Craig.
Well, I think that's right, because I think that people, especially when they're like type A people, they feel like, oh, I have all of that in a bag of chips, you know. I mean, I have all of that in my wheelhouse. I mean, I have all these things that I could do. I thought, oh, I could fix this on my own. I could get Craig back, you know.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the Lord showed me, until you put all of that down, and that's pride too, put all of that down, and you leave it up to me, and you trust me, then, you know, it's not going to be good for you, and it's not going to be good for your relationship, and it's not going to be good for the family. And so I had to give it up. I said, I know, Lord, you know, you love me, and I know that I'm your favorite. So if Craig doesn't come back, I know you will redeem what the worms have taken away. You're going to bring me somebody else, I'm sure. You know, because the Lord always redeems everything, right?
Yes.
And so I said, you will bring me the right one. You'll bring me somebody. So I had to, like, let it go. And guess what? He brought me back, Craig.
Yeah. Wow. That's so neat. So as we start to wrap up our time, I just want to ask you, what would be your advice, Penn, for those listening that might be struggling in their marriages? What advice would you give to them?
You know, it's really true what they say about knowing your partner's love language.
Yeah.
Because throughout this whole time, we didn't know what our love languages are. I mean, at least know the top two.
Yeah.
So when I found out what was Craig's top two love languages, I could see what he appreciates and how he perceives and receives love, you know, and he knows mine too.
Yeah.
And for me, I always think to serve him, you know, and to again, put that sacrifice. You know, like I know he likes to get some tasks and chores taken off of his plate and done for him. And so that's the way I feel like I can serve. And share myself and my love, you know, for him.
Uh-huh.
And he really does appreciate it. I mean, I think people like to feel acknowledged and they want to feel that you know what they need in terms of their love language.
Yes.
And so, you know, I try to be more of that.
Yes.
Think of that. Than just thinking of myself. Before I'm like, hey, Craig, can you get me some coffee? You know, now I think about, you know, I'm going to make dinner before I leave for work. I'm going to pack him a lunch too, when I have my lunch. And so that he can just get up from his meetings and get his lunch and this and that. I mean, that goes a long way because then he knows I'm thinking about him, you know, and that it's a thoughtful thing.
Yeah.
And he does the thing in return to me. See, I think what people don't understand is that when people feel loved, I think the reciprocation, if that's a word, comes naturally because the love that wells over, it's not forced. It just comes naturally.
Yes. Yeah. Wow, that's neat. And just to for those listening, what Penn's referencing is a book called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman, and so it's a great book if you have a chance to read that. Yeah, so awesome. Yeah, so Penn, just want to thank you as we wrap up our time together. Thank you for being on Catalyst Stories and sharing your amazing testimony with us.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, and. I'd like to close our time by lifting up a prayer of thanksgiving for your powerful testimony and for our listeners as well. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for Penn's testimony of your redeeming and faithful hand in her life and with her marriage with Craig. And Lord Jesus, you never promised that things would be easy or that we wouldn't stumble upon difficult times. But you did promise, and I just want to quote Hebrews 13:5, he will never leave you, never will he forsake you. And so thank you for being with Penn during those difficult moments, for giving her hope and resolve for her marriage with Craig. And Lord, may you help us, Lord, during the battles and the struggles, Lord, to turn to you, Father God. Lord, knowing that in our weakness, we are made strong, and that 2 Corinthians 12:10. And I pray for all the marriages out there. Lord, help us, God, that we would contend for them and keep hope alive, Lord. And Jesus, thank you for prompting Penn that in the moments where it might have been or seemed appropriate for her to retaliate or respond with the negative, that you led her to reach out and extend an olive branch, knowing that this is your desired response from us. Give us the strength and resolve to overcome the negative from the world with good. And finally, Lord, thank you for the covenant that you made with Penn, that if she walks with you, that nothing like this would ever happen again. So, Lord, I just want to thank you for that and want to remember the words of Jesus from John 15:7, that if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Help us, Jesus, to stay faithful to your word and obedient to you. And now, Lord Jesus, may you use these testimonies in Penn's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Penn. And that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.